Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, for the power of your Spirit, for your blood, for your body that was broken. We thank you for the day that you went 3 days into the earth to defeat the enemy and sit at the right hand of the Father. Right now, we decree and declare that we believe in your name. We receive everything this morning. Give us a revelation of your promises for us this morning. In Jesus' mighty name. We love you, we honor you, we worship you. Let your Holy Ghost fill this place, Father. Let your Holy Spirit fill this place. Let your power, let your word fill this place. Let the anointing fill this place. Let every person's heart open when the word is being read and when you're being shared it, when your voice is being heard. Let this atmosphere be saturated with the glory of God in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. Come on, church, give him a praise offering. Amen. You guys can have your seats. Thank you. And it is good to see so many at Good Friday service. We didn't expect so many people. So you can give yourself a hand clap. Amen. Are you guys excited to be here? I know there's those that wants to be here. There's those that have to be here. And there's those that were dragged to be here. So, because it's Good Friday. So, but we love you all. And I just thought of just, you know, you should have notes, I think, on your chairs. And the way I wanted to just do this message is a little bit different in a usual Good Friday service. Usually on a Good Friday, on Passover, we speak about, especially on a Good Friday, about the cross, where Jesus went to the cross. And then we go Resurrection Sunday. But how many of you know, if we celebrate Good Friday, Jesus was not crucified today. He had to be crucified yesterday in order for him to be resurrected on Sunday. So it's not a matter of dates or anything like that. It's just us celebrating during more or less that season at that time what has happened. Are you guys with me? And the fact that he resurrected, it's not somebody who resurrected him. It's not like Elisha's bones in the Old Testament who resurrected somebody else who fell into his grave. This was a resurrection when Jesus said to Pontius Pilate, he said to him, listen, I alone have the power to lay my life down and to pick it up again. What I'm basically telling you, it's not you that is killing me. It is I who is able now to lay my life down. But I have the same power in me. Nobody has to raise me from the dead. I have the same power in me to raise myself back to life again on the third day. Are you guys with me? So this is not somebody who has been raised by the dead by somebody else. This is a person that raised himself, our God, our Lord Jesus Christ, raised himself from the dead. Amen. So I thought of just touching, not going to the cross, as we kind of like know the story. I wanted to touch on Passover. Can everybody say with you Passover? And we won't have a long morning. It's not for that. I know we want to release people to go to be with their families, but it's a very short word, but I believe it's a very powerful word. And a year at Encounter, we celebrate three feasts: Feast of Passover, Feast of Pentecost, and the Feast of Tabernacles. Some of you might say that's religious or that's only for the Jewish people. It's not. The scripture makes it very clear, and we might go through it today, where God instructed and commanded Israel. And how many of you know that we are also Israel in the New Testament? The church is a type of Israel. And when the Bible speaks of Israel, it's speaking about the church and about Israel. There's some people that are saying, and some schools of doctrine that are saying, if God speaks about Israel, that it is only Israel. No, he speaks about Israel as his chosen people there in Israel, but then he also speaks about us who has now been adopted into his family, and we are also Israel's So when we read in the word that he speaks to Israel, you can take that scripture prophetically for the church as well. Are you guys with me? So that is what we believe here. And otherwise, you're just not going to get understand scripture if it's read in any other way. But God commanded the Israelites, he said, you shall keep these feasts forever. And those are the three feasts. Feast of Passover, Feast of Pentecost, and the Feast of Tabernacles. If you were with us the whole of last year, you would experience that we did those feasts, three feasts. We might just not call them that. We call it Encounter Conference, and then we'll have a subtitle saying Feast of Pentecost or Feast of Tabernacles. So then you have another group of people saying, but if we keep this, then we are under the law, no longer under grace. That is also false. There are one or two or three things that came through of the Old Testament that were under the Levitical law, even in the Old Testament, but that came through into the New Testament. For example, one of them is drinking blood. In the Old Testament, it was a sin, and in the New Testament, it is still a sin. Are you guys with me? And so the second thing is the tithe. The tithe was in the law in the Old Testament. It was even before the law of the Old Testament, and that was brought back right in into the New Testament. You can look at that in Hebrews chapter number 7. And then one of the third things is when you look at the feasts where God specifically commanded the Israelites, he says, you must keep these feasts forever. Meaning, and then he goes on and he explains, he says, when you keep these feasts, it must be on these days. And these were usually harvest times, these feasts, for the farmers and so on in Israel. And then he says, no man shall come to these feasts empty-handed. Meaning, and I always preach it when we were at Feast of Tabernacles, and when we do our Feast of Pentecost, I always say it. When we get to a feast as a church, and this is still going on Sunday morning and Sunday night, when we get to a feast as a church, there's an open heaven that an appointed time, a season that God has appointed with his people to visit them. I know you don't seem excited. I hope you don't have Easter Christians here and Christmas Christians here. People that only come at Christmas and Easter. You know, I understand. Maybe we can change that this morning. If the Holy Ghost gets you from an Easter Christian to a better Christian. So the feasts is an open heaven. It is an appointed time that God has ordained and said every time you go through the Feast of Passover, as we're going now, every time you go through the Feast of Pentecost and the Feast of Tabernacles, every time, every year, three times a year, when you partake of that, I'll read a verse now, we'll get into the message, where it says that when you bring the best of the best, especially by the Passover, the Passover feast was very significant for the first fruits. And the first fruits had to be the best fruits. Some people during that time would come and bring sick cows and would bring sick animals to be sacrificed. And God said, this is an unacceptable sacrifice. He said, I'm looking for your best, especially when it comes to Passover. And he says, when we do that, the heavens are opened. Every time we approach the feast, and I want ECC to know this, as Passover now, as we're going to be in May, in the month of May, we're going to be at Pentecost. The month of October, we're going to be at Tabernacles. Every time we approach a feast, there's heavens that is open for your life. That it doesn't matter what your need is. God has commanded that there breakthrough can happen. When the heavens, listen, when the heavens, how can I say it like this? Elijah and Elisha. Elisha followed Elijah to a river Jordan. And at the river Jordan, Elijah was taken up with chariots of fire. How many of you know that? You with me? Okay. Chariots of fire came and took him in a whirlwind and took him up. When Jesus got to the river Jordan and he was baptized more or less geographically at the same place where Elijah was taken up, when he was baptized, the Bible says, and the heavens opened and the Son of and God began to speak to the Son of God. An angel descended upon a dove descended upon him, and he said, for you are my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. The voice spoke from an open heaven. That heaven could open because it was the exact place where Elijah was taken up into heaven. There's a thing called portals. If you study Jacob, when Jacob was at Bethel, he had dreams. when Jacob was at Bethel, he went, put his head to the rock, and he had dreams. He had angels, but when he woke up, the presence of God was all over the place. Angels was in his dreams. God gave him visions and dreams. Next time he came to Bethel, he met an angel at Bethel, which was God himself, and he began to wrestle with him. Are you guys with me? This is Bethel. There are places of open heavens. That is why it is important to have a local church and to have, you know, some people say, I had one guy attack me that's running the, I don't know, some house church group thing in South Africa. And apparently they're big all over the world, and he attacked me on about just a lot of nonsense. And then he said, you know, all we care about is drawing big people, and it's not in the Bible. Listen, the Ephesians church alone was 120,000 people. Are you guys with me? And then the Bible says every day they still went to the house and to the temple. So that's the Ephesians church alone was 120,000. Then I could speak about Corinth and Colossians. And there are many churches, big churches. From the New Testament, there were always people gathering together to worship God. When we do that, an open heaven is created. When we are obedient to the feasts, an open heaven is created. When we are obedient in our hearts, when we sacrifice, whether it's time, money, of the first fruits, of the best of our first fruits, whatever it might be, of our increase, and we do that, and we set a time apart, the heavens over that time, from Friday to Sunday, it's actually the whole week, it's actually 8 days, from Sunday to Sunday, will be opened over your life. Are you guys with me? These feasts are not to be taken lightly. If God said, I want you to keep these feasts forever, it means there's a very good meaning. Let's just go to your notes. I want to share with you seven blessings that will come to you because of Passover. Can everybody say with me, Passover? Listen, let me just read you. I got this. I want you to read to understand this. Passover, the first season as seen in Scripture, namely Passover. Like I said, now it was actually 8 days. Those eight days included the feast of Passover, the feast of unleavened bread, and the feast of first fruits. These first three feasts occurred over a period of 8 days during the season of spring, referring together as what we call it now, Passover. The purpose of this brief season was to teach the children of Israel how to both find and enter God's true rest. You know, if we look at Numbers 9:2-3, listen to this verse. Let the children of Israel also keep the Passover at his appointed season. In the 14th day of the month, at even, you shall keep it at his appointed season, according to the rites and according to all the ceremonies thereof, you will keep the feasts. 1 Corinthians 5, verse 7-8 in the New Testament. For even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast. Are you guys hearing? So I want to just share with you, and you can put on the scripture for me, Exodus chapter number on the screen, 23 verse 20. I want to share with you seven blessings that comes when we keep these feasts, especially the feast of Passover in this context. Say with me, seven blessings. I just want to see if you can hear me. And these are good stuff. I was busy the whole day. And it's really, really good stuff. These promises that I'm going to give. Seven promises. Listen, these things are caught by faith. Are you guys with me? These things are caught by placing a demand. It is caught by, you must in your spirit be like, that is what I need right now in my life. That's point. The first blessing is when God assigns an angel to you. Are you guys with me? Now, this is not just any angel. This is a specific angel. God assigns the angel. He says, behold, I send an angel before you. Now, this thing that I speak of, verse 20, we're going to read later on the first few verses from 15 on to over. I'll read that later. That is, you'll see it's in context of the Passover. He says, when you do this and you're fulfilling Passover, behold, then I will send an angel before you to keep you in the way and to bring you into the place which I have prepared. Put for me in the New King James. To which I have prepared. So he says, I will place an angel in front of you. Are you guys with me? To make a way. Say with me. It says to keep you in a way. Another translation says, to make a way before you. This is what we call the Waymaker angel. That's where the song Waymaker comes from. It's the angel that was sent. This angel actually was found in the pillar of fire when they traveled by night. And this angel was seen that was in the cloud of day that when they traveled by day. The scripture says they would see the angel in the cloud. They would see the angel in the fire. It's the way maker angel. And God says, if you do a few things in Passover, which I'll get to the end, then these seven promises will follow you. God is a God of covenant. So is the covenant. He likes to say, listen, you do this, I do this. That is it. No, don't beg. Don't go pray 20 hours and fast 10 hours. And people are doing these things, but they don't fulfill certain principles. Listen, I want to share with you from these points. I'm just going to read through them. These are influences that angels had on mankind and the events on mankind. The first point, they are numerous. Second point is angels are associated with visions of God. When you have an angel, usually there will be visions or you'll see an angel in visions. There are different classifications of angels. I've put the scriptures on there for you. As Satan was created as a beautiful angel of light who rebelled against God. Angels are spiritual beings. The angels worshipped when Jesus came into the world. Angels are joyful about and fascinated by the salvation that God provided for a fallen human race. Believers are urged to be hospitable, for some have even entertained angels without realizing it. And this is an amazing scripture where the Bible is saying, listen here, be merciful, be kindful, be hospitable. Because in doing this, somebody might have come to your house and that person might have been an angel that you were helping. And you never know it. And when that angel leaves, it leaves a blessing. We think this is fairy tale. Are you guys with me? When I just got saved, that happened to me. That happened to me at our house with my family and so on. And then we realized afterwards what was happening. Or they weren't saved yet. So I was realizing afterwards what was happening. And I want to give you some other points on angels. Let's look here. Specific blessings of angels assigned to you. Angels cause us to prosper on our way. I like this one. Go to Genesis 24 verse 40. Genesis 24 verse 40. Listen to this. But he said to him, the Lord, before whom I walk, I will send his angel with you. Say these words with me. Say, he will send his angel before me. Say with me, to prosper me. He says he will send his angel with you and prosper you. Wait, so angels can bring prosperity. Okay. Prosper your way. And you shall take a wife for my son, for my family, and for my father's house. Here we see an angel going before this person, which tells me when people are prospering, when they are great in business, money, finances are coming, and they know how to manage it. Number one, the Bible says that God actually uses that as a prerequisite for the anointing. Number two, I can see that angels have been assigned to this person. Because the way you prosper is if God sends an angel to go before you. May this morning, may He send an angel to walk and go before you. Listen, listen. Angels protect and guide us. I'm not going to read all the scriptures. Angels persist until their assignments are finished. Angels can be God's agents of wrath against the enemy. Angels bring peace and increase in the faith of believers. Angels can be agents of God's encouragement. They can come and encourage you. Angels can be agents of war. One angel killed 180,000 people. Angels hear God's voice and obey His commands. Angels are God's ministers who do the Father's pleasure. Angels praise God. Angels can be defending warriors. Angels keep watch over believers. Angels bring messages from God. Angels can be sent to answer prayer. Angels remind God's people of the Father's love. Angels minister peace and encouragement. Angels can be God's agents of warning. Angels will help reap the end time harvest. Angels minister to children always. Angels are God's agents of instruction and guidance. Angels rejoice when a person is saved. Every time somebody gets saved in this building, it means that the angels are rejoicing. Our ears are just not open to hear it. Angels strengthen believers. Angels communicate God's instructions. Angels specifically minister to believers. Angels are ever vigilant. They surround God's throne. Angels worship God. Angels present the prayers of the saints before God's throne. Angels war against the enemy and win battles. Listen, one angel killed 180,000 people in the wilderness. Then in the book of Revelation, we can read where Jesus said that one angel will be sent down to bind Satan. Are you guys with me? One angel. Now I'm thinking, if Jacob, the Bible says that Jacob was wrestling with a man. Are you guys with me? And then it revealed that it was the angel of the Lord that was he was wrestling with. He was wrestling with the angel of the Lord. But then we can see that in Scripture, if you understand the phrase angel of the Lord, it is the Lord himself. How many of you know God is higher than angels? Here man is wrestling that he thought was an angel. It turned out to be God. And the Bible says that God said to himself, in this fight, I am not prevailing. Let me go, God said to Jacob. And Jacob said, I will not, which means that Jacob had the ability to wrestle and fight God that is higher than an angel and hold on to him and said, I will not let you go until you bless me. Now you get Jacob, who is an evil, wicked man. Are you guys with me? His own name means deceiver. You get a man that is full of sin, that has made a lot of mistakes, having the ability to hold on to God, bring him down out of heaven, hold him down until God has to tell him, let me go. But yet, one angel destroys 180,000 people. One angel binds Satan. Imagine how much power God has deposited inside of you. If you have the ability to say, God, I'm going to hold on to you and not going to let you go until you bless me. Okay, so the first promise is God will assign angels to me. Second promise I like even better. Okay, you can turn your next page there. God will be an enemy to your enemies. Say, God will be an enemy to my enemy. I decree and I declare that God will be a troubler to your troubler. He will become a curse to your curse. Listen, this is what the Bible is. The Bible says God will inflict those who come against you with sicknesses. Just keep standing. Let me just say, I want you to receive this. Listen. He says, but if you indeed obey his voice and do all that I speak, then I will be an enemy to your enemy, an adversary to your adversaries, a troubler to your troubles. Listen, in Thessalonians, let me read this to you. In Thessalonians, it says, since it is a righteous thing with God to repay with tribulation those who trouble you and to give you who are troubled rest with us. The Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels. He says, listen, it is righteous for God to trouble those who trouble you. Are you guys with me? Have your seats. Say, God will be an enemy to my enemy. I hope you are getting good word yet at least. You know, with Passover, and I didn't share this in the beginning, I know I shared it with our church before, where we get the word Passover from is when the Israelites were in Egypt under bondage and a spirit came, the angel of death came from God to kill and then God's all the firstborn, and then God said, for the Israelites, take the blood of a lamb, take a lamb for the whole household. Say with me, a whole household. And this was getting very interesting when I read this. I didn't even want to put this into the notes. And right through scripture, you see how God uses a lamb for a whole household, which means salvation for a whole household. Are you guys with me? Which means that in the book of Acts, that me and my house shall be saved. Usually God saves one person in the house, and then He begins to use that one person or the grace on that person's life to begin to protect, cover, whether they're saved or not, to protect and cover the family until they come to a place of salvation. Are you guys with me? That is God's protocol. Because when He said, listen, I'll put the blood on the doorposts, on the left and right and the top, and then stay in there, and then when this angel of death passes you by, it will not look into your house. It will pass over your house. So that's where Passover comes from. So He doesn't look in to see, okay, there's seven people. Wait, that one, there's a drug addict. That one there fell into pornography. You know, let me take them out. No, the blood was on the doorposts. I call it like this. It's the blood that blinds God. I know religious people are like, what the heck is this? Listen, there's one thing that can blind God. The blood of Jesus Christ. Because when you are covered and cleansed in that blood, all He sees is the blood, and He passes over. When judgment comes, all He sees is the blood, and He passes over you. Are you guys with me? Okay. Go to point number three. This is even a better point for me. Okay. God will give you prosperity. Amen. Say with me, prosperity. Prosperity is not riches. Prosperity is what we call wealth in every area. Are you guys with me? Wealthy spiritually, wealthy emotionally, physically, mentally, in materially, every area. It's wealth. There's a difference to wealth and riches. And we see here with Exodus 23 verse 25 on your pages, it says, so you shall serve the Lord your God, and He will bless your bread and your water. Very small verse, but it is part of the promises. But then I remember back on verses like what God would say about Isaac. He said, Isaac, I will prosper you, and I will make you even more prosperous, and I will even make you very, very prosperous. And the word prosperous is used three times in one sentence. Are you guys with me? That when Abraham was so loaded and rich, that the kings would ask him, please move out of my land. I'll give you another land there that you can just move in there, so that the people don't get intimidated and think you are king. That is how loaded Abram was, our father. Are you guys with me? And you are seed of Abraham, seed of Christ. They say Solomon obviously was the richest man who ever lived. They say that, what was that queen's name? Sheba would come to him with ships and ships and ships of gold. I mean ships of gold to have 5 minutes of his wise counsel. And then he would give even more back to her going back. This is how rich this guy was. This is the lineage of God. I'll preach to you one day the lineage of God, and you see what God did, how He did it. They even used a prostitute. That Jesus' great, 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 great grandmother was a prostitute. That is why you could relate to prostitutes. There's a lineage in God that you and I have that is rich, that is loaded, which means there's an inheritance. When there's a lineage, there's an inheritance. Physically and spiritually, are you guys with me? Have your seats. Listen. So prosperity. So listen, being your bread and wine, I just wrote something that I thought is important. God's pattern for wealth. So some people might think, but what happened to Good Friday? This is Good Friday. It's a Good Friday. It's Passover. I just didn't want to preach on Christ's death today. We'll cover that on Sunday with his resurrection. So God's pattern to wealth. Anyone who desires to gain a better understanding of a true biblical prosperity has a treasure of proven guidelines. And these are like what I call laws. If you look at any person, these are things that they've kind of like fulfilled. The first thing is you must acknowledge that God wants you to prosper. You need to tithe and give offerings. Work so that you can pay your tithe and offerings. Pay your covenant vows to God. Give to help others in need. Understand that God is the source of your prosperity. Realize that the Lord can even send his angel with you to make you prosper, like I just said. Understand how obedience brings God's blessings. Ask the Lord for wisdom and understanding. Expect God to cause prosperity to come into your life. Give from a cheerful heart. Say with me, a cheerful heart. Give your Passover offering. When I just added that one right there at the bottom. But there is a Passover offering. And you'll see that right before this verse, how they speak about it. And it is that seed that increases these blessings over our lives. Point number four. God will take sickness away from you. Say, he will remove my sickness. Listen, healing is good. But healing was never God's will and intentions. Divine health was his will. I think it is in 2 Peter 1:4. Just put on for you 2 Peter 1:4. I want to give you the scripture that I use when I'm sick, that I use when I'm... this week I had a very bad fever of over 40. And I remember every time it would hit 40, I would just read this verse over and over the whole time to me. To myself. And then somebody said, I must take these pills or something. I took the pills just before I had it in my mouth. The fever already began to broke. So by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be, say with him, may be partakers of the divine nature, of his divine nature. Are you guys with me? Having escaped the corruption of the sin of the world through lust, but partakers of this divine nature. That's what I call divine health. When we look at Christ's divine nature, he is the epitome of wholeness. He is the epitome of divineness. Everything in him is health, is wealth, that's what's in him. And the Bible says that through these promises, what promises? That's what's going on before that. I'm not going to get into that right now. But we can now become partakers of the divine nature of Christ. Partaker means to share a part in, to be a partner in a business, 50-50, which means it's not just you or just Christ, it's you and Christ sharing, partaking of one another. Come on, are you guys with me? And you partake of that divine health. Listen, God's will has never been for us to be sick. God's will has never been for us to be sick. But in the same way, God's will has never been healing. God's will is divine health. To walk in divine health. Amen. Point number five there on your notes. God will give you, say with me, a long life. This is a thing that I believe in. And there are secrets of the word. Let me just share something with you. Point number six, God will bring increase and inheritance to you. So as I said, Abram has a massive inheritance. We should be living off that inheritance. Exodus 23 verse 30 says, little by little, I will drive them out from before you until you have increased and you inherit the land. Another verse, I took it out of there, speaks of that you will expand and that you'll grow greater. Point number seven, the seventh blessing. Say with me, seventh blessing. And we won't be long. God will expand you. Oh, here it is, actually, sorry. God will expand you and restore what the enemy took. Exodus 23 verse 31 says, and I will set your bounds from the Red Sea to the sea, Philistia, and from the desert to the river. For I will deliver the inhabitants of the land into your hand, and you shall drive them out before you. And what the enemy stole will be returned to you and protected by God from being overtaken. Exodus 23 verse 29, I will not drive them out from you before you in 1 year, lest the land become desolate and the beasts of the field become too numerous for you. This also speaks, he says, I will not drive them out from you before you in 1 year, meaning that God is, this speaks of, as I put it in point seven, God will expand us and restore what the enemy took, but he will also expand us and keep us blessed for 1 year. Are you guys with me? So, you know, I thought of to put this in here. How can I say it? How to receive these blessings. There are seven blessings, as you know. The first blessing is that God will assign a specific angel to you. He will, number two, God will be an enemy to your enemies, a troubler to your troubler, a curse to your curse, to your curses. God will give you prosperity, the third blessing. The fourth blessing, God will take sickness away from you, let you walk in divine health. Point number five, God will give you a long life. Point number six, God will bring increase and inheritance to you. Point number seven, God will expand and restore what the enemy took. Those are the seven blessings. Now to receive it, let me just read you. It's a short piece I was just putting together here. And when God makes a covenant with his people, as he does with the seven blessings of the Passover, there's a mutual obligation. Notice in the passage of Exodus 23, there's a prerequisite. Say with me, a prerequisite to all these blessings found in verse 15. We only began to read from verse 22. Verse 20. But in verse 15, there's a prerequisite. I'll go read it now for these blessings. Go put on the screen for me verse 15. Exodus 23, verse 15. Okay. It says this. It says, you shall keep the feast of the unleavened bread. You shall eat unleavened bread 7 days as I command you at the time appointed in the month of Abib. This is the feast of Passover. So in the month of Abib, for in it you came out of Egypt. None shall appear before me. Say with me, empty-handed. None shall appear before me empty-handed. Go to the next verse, let's just say. And the feast of harvest, the first, now speaking about the feast of harvest, first fruits of your labors, which you have sown in the field, and the feast of ingathering, and these are all the ones that were combined. Go to the next verse. Three times in the year, all your males shall appear before the Lord. So the women actually don't have to be here. Okay. But what it signifies here is that only one person comes and he covers his whole family. Amen. Three times in the year, all your males shall appear before the Lord. Next year. You shall not offer the blood of my sacrifice with leavened bread, nor shall the fat of my sacrifice remain until morning. Next verse. The first of the first fruits of your land you shall bring into the house of the Lord your God. You shall not boil a young goat in its mother's milk. Next verse. Behold, then he says, so you shall not appear before me empty-handed. Behold, I send an angel before you. That which he was speaking about, keeping the Passover. People come and they bless the Lord and they give into his work and their families is covered and blessed. He says, now these seven blessings will come upon you. So it says here on the fourth page, it says, notice in the passage of Exodus 23, there's a prerequisite that is found in verse 15. As the children of Israel were given instructions for the Passover season, none shall appear before me empty-handed. Granted, the children of Israel were required to bring more than 20 different offerings to the Lord, both great and small, during the Passover season. However, the offering was unique by resulting in seven specific blessings. During the first season of the Jewish year, the feast of Passover, unleavened bread, first fruits, God commanded the entire nation of Israel to honor him by bringing the first crops of their harvest to the house of the Lord. The Hebrews were forbidden to use even the smallest part of the harvest until an offering was made of the harvest first fruits. Giving these first fruits, Passover season offerings were considered a pure act of obedience, who is the giver of all good things. We shouldn't confuse this offering with a tithe, as you all know, which is 10% of our income. Technically, that is not an offering because it belongs exclusively to the Lord. Tithe is a thing that belongs to God. When we bring our tithe to the Lord, we don't really give Him anything. Of course, we are blessed by this principle of the tithe, but it belongs to Him. Deuteronomy 16 verse 17, I'll close off with this. Listen, it echoes, it says this, and they shall appear before the Lord, and they shall not appear before the Lord empty-handed. Every man shall give as he is able. Say with me, able. According to the blessing of the Lord your God, which He has given you. This is Passover. This is when the weekend is opening up, and we're going to carry on Sunday with Resurrection Sunday. How many of you know it's only started today? Bring your family on Sunday morning. It is a powerful, powerful time for them to experience God on this Sunday morning.